नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी उचारिणे
Bhakti Vedanta Shamraj Prabhupad ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavin ki jai, Nama Charja Shuddha Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath, Sham Kundradha Kund Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Navadip Tham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamana Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavinoda ki jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Guru Premanande. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shanti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatani. So today, ninth chapter we're beginning. So we can chant the ninth chapter. You got one of those books, huh? Did you get it here?
Delhi Temple.
Good. Those little verse books are available at the Delhi Temple. Maybe here too. Yeah. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Tu Te Guyatamam Pravaksham Yanasuyade Gyanam Yajnana Sahitam Yajgyatva Mokshase Shubhat Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartumavyayam Ashradhana Purusha Dharmas yasya parantapa akapyamam nivartante mrityu sansara vartmani maya tatam nidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastataha nacha matsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaisharam bhuta prinna chatutastho Mamatma Puta Pavanaha Yatha Kashas Tito Nityam Vayu Sarvatra Gomahan Tata Sarvani Putani Matstani Tupataraya Sarva Putani Kanteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kopakshaye Punastani Kopadao Vistrajamyaham Prakritim Swama Vashtabhya Visrajami Punapunaha Bhuta Grama Mimam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vashat Nachamam Tani Karmani Nibhadnanti Dhananjaya Udasina Vadasinam Asastam Teshu Karmasu Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Etunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate abhajananti mamurtha manushim tanumashrutam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram moghasha mokha karmano mokha jnana vichetasaha rakshasim asarim chaiva prakritim mohinim shrutaha Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrataha bhajanchananya manaso gyatva bhutarim avyayam satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dhritavritaha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate jnana yagena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate Ekatvena pratatvena vahutha vishvato mukham Aham kraturaham yagya svathaham aham aushadham Mantroham aham evajyam aham agnir aham hutam Pitaham asya jagato mata dhata pitamaha Devyam pavitram omkara riksama yajurevacha Katir Partha Prabhu Sakshi
Divasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijamavyayam Tapamyaham Maham Varsham Nigranam Yutsujamicha Amritam Chaiva Mrityuscha Sarasascha Hamarjuna Trivijamam Soma Paputa Papa Yajyarisvasvargatim Pratayante Te Punyamasadya Surendra Lokam Ashnanti Divyan Divideva Bhogan Te Tam Bhuktvasvargo Lokam Vishalam Shine Punye Marchalokam Vishanti Evam Trai Dharma Manu Prapanna Gatagatam Kama Kama Labhante Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Ye jana paryupasate tesham nitya viyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita te pimam eva kanteya yajantya vidhipurvakam aham hi sarva yajnanam bhakta cha prabhureva cha natumam abhijananti Tatpenatasyavantite Yanti deva gata devan Pitrin yanti pitrivrataha Putani yanti puteja Yanti madhyajano pimam Patram pushpam palam toyam Yome bhaktya prayachati Tadaham bhaktyu bharatam Ashnami prayatatmanaha Yat karoshi yad ashnasi Yaj juhosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kanteya, tat kurusha madarpanam. Shubha shubha palayarevam, mokshase karma pantanaihi, sanyasa yoga yuktatma, vimukto mamupaishasi. Samoham sarvabhuteshu, namedveshosti napriyaha, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, Maite te shuchapyaham Apichet sururacharo Bhajate mamananyapak Sadhureva samantavya Samyag vyavasisho hisaha Kshipram bhavati dharmatma Shashvachchantim nigachchati Kaunteya pratijanihi Name bhakta pranashyati Mam hi partha vyapashritya Ye pityu papayonayaha Striyo vaishastata shudras te piyanti param gatim kim punar bhamana punya bhakta rajarshayastata anityam sukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mami vaishasi yuktvaivam atmanam madparayanaha Om Tat Sadati Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sangvade Rajaguhya Yoga Nama Navamodhyaya So, we hope you like the nice, fresh weather. You'll see there are no mosquitoes. So, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Idam Tute Guhyatamam. Guhyatamam is superlative. There's declarative, positive, then comparative, and then superlative. Different degrees of comparison. Good, better, best. High, higher, highest. So here, confidential, more confidential, and guhyatamam. Guhyataram means more confidential, and guhyatamam. Topmost, top secret. Topmost confidential knowledge. Most confidential. Krishna says, I'll speak this most confidential knowledge to you, because you have what qualification? You're not envious. I'm not going to talk to envious, snaky kind of people. You're not envious, so I'll speak to you. Jnana vijnana sahitam. We've come across these terms before. Jnana and Vijnana, knowledge, and what's Vijnana? Realized knowledge, scientific knowledge, specific knowledge, all these different terms are used, particular knowledge. And by knowing this knowledge, you'll be freed from all ashubha, unfortunate things. Here the ashubha is this miserable material existence. That's the most unfortunate thing. I'm not going to cover all the points that Prabhupada makes in his purport. There's always a lot. But Prabhupada comments on this most confidential. He says, the first chapter is more or less an introduction. The second and third describe spiritual knowledge called confidential. Then the seventh and eighth are specifically related to devotional service, and because they bring enlightenment and Krishna consciousness, they're called more confidential. But the ninth chapter gives knowledge that's called most confidential. What's most confidential about it? It's dealing with pure devotional service. So it's called unalloyed, pure devotion, so it's the most confidential. Now, let's see what else we want to talk about in that first verse. I'm done. Any questions about verse 1? Yes? What's not clear? What's the difference? Well, Prabhupada says that 7 and 8 talk about devotional service, and they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness. So that's confidential. But 9 specifically deals with, like 8, 7, we found there are people who come with 4 different kinds of motives. They begin devotional service. What kind of devotional service is that? Is it pure? Akama? Sakama. Yeah, what do we call that? Mixed. Mixed devotional service. Something for me, something for you. Mixed. Motivated. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But in the ninth chapter, Amishra. No mixture. Pure devotional service. That's the most confidential. Does that clarify the matter? It does. Okay. Sure.
Also, what I read, the ninth chapter is how to apply this.
Is what?
Know how to apply.
How to apply the process. Yeah, you can say that. It gets down to real life of a devotee in some ways. In fact, we'll come to a purport where Prabhupada talks about that. It deals with spiritual activities. Like the first chapter, you learn that you're not this body, you learn that you're spirit soul, but you don't learn that much about spiritual activities. But in the ninth chapter, you do. So yes. Something else. Loud, loud. All these preachers have to be loud.
Can we wait like from 9th chapter and onwards to 12th chapter, knowledge is bhakti?
It's all bhakti. Of course, the whole Bhagavad Gita is really meant for bhakti, but these six middle chapters are all specifically dealing with bhakti. 12th chapter is called Bhakti Yoga. 7th chapter also deals with Bhakti Yoga. 7, 8, 9. But, so not just from 9 on, but from 7 on, you can say they're all specifically Bhakti Yoga chapters. Middle 6. Is that okay? Yes?
Prabhupada
Yeah, there are three. This is grammar. There's declarative, positive, comparative, and superlative. You say something's good. Okay, it's good. That's positive. Now, if you say something's better, you're comparing it to something else. This book is useful, and this book is useful, but this book is more useful. This recorder is good, but this other recorder is better. So you're comparing, and you're saying, between the two, this one's better. So that's called comparative. And then, when you say something's best, that's superlative. That means however many others there might be, this one's better than all the others. So that's called superlative. So you have that in grammar. Good, better, best. Or in this case, confidential. More confidential. Most confidential. That's the idea. Is that okay? Clear? No. Oh, Guhyatara. Yeah. That's Sanskrit grammar. Guhyatara, what else would be a Tara? Yeah. Guhya, Guhyatara, Guhyatamam. Give me another adjective. Priya, Priyatara, Priyatamam. Dear, more dear, most dear. What else? Any adjective will do. These are the endings that typically signify comparative and superlative. Priyatara, Guhyatama, Sundatara, Sundatama, Sundaratama. Yeah, Sundaratama, Sundaratama, Tarahatama. Yeah. Yeah. Uttama, most high. Sarvatara, Sarvatamam, yeah. So you get the idea. It's not just Guhya, but these are endings that fit with all sorts of other words. Any other questions? Okay. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Tamyam, Susukam, Kartamavyuyam. Rajavidya. This is chapter is usually called Rajavidya Yoga, the king of knowledge, or Jnana Vijnana Yoga. Sometimes it's called Raja Vidya, king of knowledge. We have that book, Rajavidya, the king of knowledge. Or Prabhupada translates Vidya, education. What's a school called in Hindi? Vidyalaya. Yeah, but that doesn't help me in the present context. Vidyalaya. A place where you get education is Vidyalaya. So vidya means knowledge, or vidya means education. So people are going to be educated at this school or that school. They're getting an education. But this is the best education. Rajavidya. Adhyatma vidya vidyanam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, among all forms of education, I'm spiritual education. So this is real education, or this is the king, the best. King means best. If you say the king of fruits, it means the best fruit. So the best kind of education, or the best kind of knowledge. In fact, Prabhupada gives it that way in his word for word, king of education. Oh, even in the translation, king of education. Vidya. Jnana is usually knowledge. Vidya is also knowledge or education. So this is the best education. And Prabhupada explains why. He says there's so many other kinds of philosophy, and he lists various philosophers. But he says that this is the best. Where Krishna says this is now the best of all education, the best of all knowledge that we're going to find right here in the ninth chapter. But it's very confidential. Raja Guhya. It's the same as Guhya Tamam. If you say something's the most confidential, or if you say it's the king of confidential topics, means it's the most confidential. Prabhupada explained confidential sometimes by saying that confidential means not everybody will be interested. He gave the example of baby pictures. You know, you show your baby pictures, and not everyone's interested. Most people, in fact, are not interested. But those who are your inner circle, they look and say, oh, and da-da-da-da-da. They're interested. So it's available, but not everybody's interested. Or not everyone's qualified to appreciate. The friends and relatives have some qualification to appreciate. Others, they just look and they see some stupid little kid. So, thank you. So it's confidential. Not everyone's interested, and it's not revealed to everyone. If something's, if they're going to say, well, just another stupid little kid, you're not going to show them the pictures. You know in advance that these are not the people to appreciate it. Hare Krishna. We need a chair. Is that okay? Chairs, take the chair. So it's very confidential. Government secrets, personal secrets, they're not revealed to everyone. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. And pavitram. It's most pure and transcendental, uttamam. And prachakshavagamam, dharmyam. Oh, thank you. One of my favorite books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, first edition. Yeah, lovely. Eight, nine. Okay, good. Habits of Bill. Sure, we can find something interesting here. Then, prachaksha means what? Direct perception. So, what does it mean, prachaksha agamamam dharmyam? It means that this dharma is appreciated by direct perception. It's not just theoretical. You can actually, it's experience. We say experiential knowledge, experiential. Experiential knowledge. It's not just something out there. Yes?
All this direct perception in the Vedic system is different or more deeper from perception of other religious traditions.
How is the perception, direct perception, in the Vedic system different from direct perception in other systems? Well, that's an interesting question. You want me to speculate? It's not a question I ever heard anyone ask Prabhupada. We can say that, of course, direct perception is direct perception. If you eat an ice cream cone or if you experience the highest pleasure of transcendental relationships with the Absolute, it's experience, in either case. It's direct. It's not mediated by some third party. No one's informing you, ice cream is tasty, bliss is blissful. You're directly finding out from your own practical experience. So in that sense, experience is experience. You're not finding out just by reading about it or hearing about it. You have direct access by your own sensory perception. That's the same across the board. Now, how it's different, direct perception in different religious traditions. Well, it may be different. One thing is that it depends. Why different between traditions? There's difference within the tradition. The first difference we were reading the other day, there's the Kanista Adhikari, there's the Madhyama Adhikari, there's the Uttama Adhikari. What's the difference between them? They're the degree of faith and their degree of knowledge. So the experience of the Uttama Adhikari and the experience of the Kanishta Adhikari are not the same, even though they're in the same tradition. One is eating a green mango and one is tasting the ripe mango, or one is just getting a little taste of experience, and the topmost devotee is relishing the most deep experience. So there's a big difference between the neophyte and the advanced devotee. Although they chant Hare Krishna, and everyone experiences something, but the more advanced devotee will get a deeper experience. That's what we expect. Now, between traditions, we might also observe the same thing. The beginning devotee in a Christian tradition or in any other tradition will experience a little something, and the person who's more advanced should experience a deeper understanding or realization, because he has greater faith, he has greater knowledge of what his tradition is teaching. So the same thing applies there. Therefore, you find that there are neophytes in every tradition, and there are people who are advanced in any tradition according to the standards of their tradition, or how it's measured within their tradition. Prabhupada hasn't said this, but I would sometimes say that you might find sometimes more kinship between advanced people across traditions than you would between, say, the advanced person and the neophyte in the same tradition. The person who's intensely devoted to God consciousness within his tradition may experience more kinship with the person who's intensely devoted within another tradition than with neophytes from those respective traditions. In one sense, they'll have more kinship within the tradition because they share the same values, the same philosophy, the same understanding, the same. On another side, the neophytes are neophytes and adepts are adepts. The other thing is there's a difference in content. The one tradition, for example, teaches you that the absolute, that when you reach perfection, you don't think about anything. You become free from thoughts. You become free from, that's very different from the tradition that teaches you that when you're advanced, you experience the personal presence of Krishna. That, in turn, is different from the tradition that teaches you that when you're advanced, you feel an identity with Jesus, and or you share his suffering, or whatever it is. And there's a difference, again, between even, the content is different. What they're aspiring for is different. The devotees of Allah who perceive Allah in a more or less, as being great, as being merciful, as being all of this, but as having no form, really, they'll have a different experience from the person who's trying to realize Krishna, because their tradition is teaching them something essentially different. So even though each may be very advanced within their tradition, they'll get different content. Yes? Mm-hmm.
There was an exchange with one Christian priest from person there. And the same challenges, the exact same difficulties amongst people who are more advanced or maybe at the real price in his own church, in his own tradition, his relationship with the bishops, with the council, with all these same. 100% exactly the same. Mm. His own challenges for finding time for deeper spirituality, against having to manage, against inclusion, same. So a lot of similarities there. But then again, because the personal concept and the personal form and taste is not so prominent, it's like they are like Shantaras and looking for something a little bit more exciting.
We could perhaps derive two things from this. One is that this nomenclature or this systemization of realization in terms of the categories given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kanishtha, Madhyam, Uttam, it's not a sectarian piece of work or a sectarian way of diagramming things. It applies across the board. You can use these yardsticks, and you can use them anywhere. For any person of faith, you can use these categories, and they'll work. And even people who belong to that faith will say, "Yeah, this works. It does describe what happens here." So there's probably universal religious principles. The other point is that it's again, this is where Prabhupada sort of how should we say it, marks the point of the line of battle, or where he sees the crucial issue is on this point of personal and impersonal. There's so many different ways of looking at philosophy, so many ways of looking at religion, so many ways of this and that. And typically, Prabhupada's right on this point, personal or impersonal. There are those who are mostly impersonalists, those who are mostly personalists. And there are those who are entirely personalists, pure devotees. Okay, anything else? Yeah. Moving on. So prachaksham dharmyam and susukam kartum avyayam. Sukha means, and susuka, very joyful. Su is an intensifier. Subuddhi, very good intelligence. Su anything. Sumati, very good, again, way of thinking, intelligence. Sulapa, very very easy to obtain. Sumedasa, very good brain. Substance, as Prabhupada would say. So Su means very good. Sudarshan, you see very nicely. Sudurlapa. So here, Su. Susukam, very nice happiness. Very first class. Intense happiness. Very, really. Very happy. Susukam kartum avyayam. It's eternal. It's not like the temporary activities of this material world. And it's very joyfully performed. And Prabhupada illustrates, pavitra. Prabhupada has a bit of an extended discussion of pavitra in terms of this quotation from Padma Puran of different kinds of sinful activities. Sinful activity that's manifest, that's not yet manifest, that's in the seed form, or that's already giving fruit. This is described in detail where? Nectar of Devotion. In the early chapters of Nectar of Devotion, you'll find this whole Kreshagni, right. In the discussion of Kleshagni, you're getting free from different kinds of miseries. You'll find this discussion. The idea is that all the different stages of sinful life one can get freed from. What is that? Dagda Karmani. Gyan Agni Dagda Karmani Basmasat Kurute. That's another one. Gyan Agni Dagda Karmani Basmasat Kurute Tata. As a fire burns up as much fuel as you supply to it, so the fire of transcendental knowledge will burn to ashes all sinful activities. Karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhaja. Govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajami. Then Susukam, Prabhupada says, chanting Hare Krishna is very nice, enjoyable, chanting and dancing. And he illustrates the whole thing by the example of Narad Muni from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, where you get all of these nice free quotations that you don't get in the first edition. All these two nice verses are missing, along with some of the other things that are along the way. It's all practical experience. This is prachakshavagamam dharmyam. Narad Muni had practical experience of devotional service. It was not something theoretical. Okay, any questions?
Maharaj, here we come across this Palon Mukha.
Palon Mukha, yeah. It's there in Padma Puran, Palon Mukha. How does Prabhupada say, giving the fruit, or does he just mention it? Let's see. Find that page. Palon Mukha. Prabhupada doesn't discuss Palon Mukha here, does he? It's just given he just quotes the verse. In a Nectar Devotion, he just translates it, and here he gives the Sanskrit and summarizes it. But the same understanding is there. There's something I really like at the end of the purport. Prabhupada's talking about how the king of knowledge, it's the king of the most confidential secret, it's directly realized, it's the most purifying, it's joyfully performed. Thus, the process of devotional service of Krishna consciousness is the king of all education, the king of all confidential knowledge. It's the purest of religion. It can be executed joyfully without difficulty. Therefore, one should adopt it. You know, that's the practical conclusion. Therefore, one should adopt it. It's nice that, you know, you're sitting there reading and saying, this is this. Prabhupada's not going to let you get away with that. Well, if it's the most this, the most this, the most this, the most everything, then you should do it. Rascal. Therefore, this is the conclusion. Therefore, you should do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you'd like to know more about Palon Mukha, read Surrender Unto Me. It's glossed there. Okay? So this is practical. Prabhupada is not writing a theoretical book about the interesting philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. It's meant to be practical. Therefore, one should do it. One should adopt it. Prabhupada has all these great lines. Therefore, I mean, it's simple, but you won't find the so many Bhagavad Gitas, they won't say, therefore you should do it. They'll say, therefore it's very interesting. Or they'll say something else. Okay. Ashadatana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu sangsara vartmani. This is ashadatana. Shraddha means faith. And ashraddha, faithlessness. Ashraddhana purusha means persons who have no faith. Persons who have no faith. dharmasya asya. In this process of dharma, sanatan dharma, devotional service, aprapyamam, they don't attain me. Not attaining me, nivartante, they come back. Where? Mrityu saṃsāra vartmani, on the path, vartma, of death and rebirth, death and samsara, the cycle of material existence. That's what happens. It's natural. If you don't have faith, you can't take to it. If you don't take to it, you won't get the benefit. Somebody gives you a check and says, this is a $1,000 check. If you don't have faith in it, you say, I don't need it. Someone gives you some medicine, you don't take it. Right? You say, well, I don't have faith in your medicine. Okay, you don't get the benefit. Everything requires some faith. You can't take one step without faith. If you don't have faith that the ground over there is solid, you won't take a step there. You have faith that the ground is solid, that if you put your foot there, it won't be like the palace of the Pandavas where you suddenly find yourself up to your neck in water. The Maya Danava's palace, you'll think, no, I can put my foot there, it's all right. So many things you do on faith. Prabhupada gave the example. Of course, it's not found very much because barbers hardly have any, they're like mostly put out of business by machines. But still, those who go to the barber shop, they lie down on a chair and they put their head back like this and a guy stands above them with the razor. Right? And then puts it to his throat. So you have to have a lot of faith, actually, that this guy's not going to slit my throat. Otherwise, you can't get shaved. So it's practical. You put down $300, and somebody gives you a number and says, yes, you're booked on the plane. They don't even give you a piece of paper anymore. They just give you a number and say, just show up at the airport, everything's all right. And you give them your $300. So how are you doing that? You're doing it on faith. They're serving prasadam. How do you know it's not poison? You'd starve to death without faith. You wouldn't be able to eat anything. You know, people who have severe cases of paranoia, they have real problems. They can't eat. Anybody might be poisoning me. So everything, it's not just religion. Your science depends on faith. You have faith that if you follow the experiment, you're not going to blow up. It's not going to be fatal. You have faith in certain formulas that you haven't personally tested, but the great scientists have assured you that this is the data, this is the information. You don't personally check everything, double-check everything. Sometimes you don't have the equipment. You don't have the cyclotron running in, under the ground in Belgium to give you data personally. You don't have direct experience. And so many ways you take things on faith. Okay, take it on faith. So here also some faith is required. And if you have no faith, then you're unfortunate. Because you won't attain Krishna without some faith. That's the difference between Kanishtha, Madhyam, Uttam. Uttamadhikari has strong faith. Kanishtadhikari has weak faith. Komala Shraddha. And less than that, he doesn't have faith. So without faith, you won't get Krishna, but you'll come back again. Mrityu Saṃsāra Vartmani. At one lecture in Toronto that I attended, Srila Prabhupada translated Shraddha as interest. Interest. And he was saying, big audience, mostly Indian people in Toronto, Prabhupada was saying the problem is that you have no interest. We have no interest. And he glossed this verse that way. And we see that to people. They're very interested in making money. They're very interested in, why? They have faith that by making money I'll become happy. By going to this movie I'll become happy. By whatever it is, buying this house, I'll become happy. But they don't have faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, I'll become happy. They'll spend so much money, so much time on these other things, but they won't spend a little bit of time, even no money and a little bit of time, to chant Hare Krishna. Why? They don't have faith, or they don't have interest. No, I'm, you know, too busy, or when he desires, or whatever their story is. Interest level isn't high enough to do it. It's not hard, not costly, no big sacrifice, but they're not interested. So Prabhupada translated Shraddha that time as interest. Hold it just for a moment, because I... Shraddha shabde vishvash kari sudridha nishchoy. Krishna bhakti kailo sarva karma kritoy. Kaviraj Goswami defines faith as the confidence that simply by Krishna consciousness, by devotional service, I'll do everything. All the result we read in the 8th chapter, wasn't it? Vedeshu, yagyeshu, tatpashu, chaiva. Whatever you'd get from yagya, from dana, from Vedic study, you'll get that and more by devotional service. So that's faith. Yes, I will get that. Okay, yes, your question. Yeah, definitely. There's correlation between your level of faith and your advancement in the process. The stronger your faith, the more advanced you are, and the more you will advance. The weaker your faith, a weak person with weak faith can go the other way. Somebody comes and says, what are you doing this for, Charlie? You know, Susie loves you and she misses you, and you're throwing your life away for this, you know? And guy says, well, did she really say she misses me? You know, and he can go this way or that way because his faith isn't very strong. And someone whose faith is strong says, well, yeah, but there's so many guys in the world, you know, she'll get on okay. Or tell her to chant Hare Krishna. That's it, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I can do it. I can get everything I need. I'll get by Krishna consciousness. I don't. There are people who really, I mean, consider it in terms of your life. Do you have faith that by doing that, that Krishna says later in the chapter, I'll take care of you. Whatever you need, I'll supply. Do we believe it? Or do we think, yeah, but I better have a backup? Shonak Rishi Prabhu told a humorous story. I'll share it with you, why not? We'll take a minute. He says, there's some guy and he's like falls off a cliff. And on the way down, there's like some shrub, you know, some little piece of a tree, and he grabs onto it and he's hanging by this shrub. And he calls up, I've been a good man. I've tried to be good. Is there anybody there? And a voice, do not fear, for I shall extend my hand below you, and you will be safe. Is there anybody else up there?
Yes.
people who have university degrees, who have backgrounds, and universities degrees, but they have faith that by going in the middle of the night and seeing the Lord, their life will be auspicious. And then you have other people who have all these material achievements, but if you ask them to please listen or have a look at this book,
well, you distribute a book. What would you say? What's the crucial factor? Yeah. Yeah. They need good fortune. And how do they get good fortune? Sukriti, pious credit, good fortune, by the mercy of a devotee. Someone can take interest if he already has interest. So I say, yeah, I've been looking for this book. You know, then he's interested. Yeah, I'm interested. I heard about this book. That means he's already started someplace before, and he's working up on his, he's building up his capital. But otherwise, if he has nothing, how's he going to get started even? What do you, you know, you build up your capital with some starting capital. If you have nothing to start with, how do you go? So what is that starting capital? It's the mercy of a devotee. You get the mercy of a devotee, then you can start. If you get more mercy, you can make still more progress, or more rapid progress. So it's really good fortune. You know, it's not because they're more intelligent, materially speaking, in terms of material, objective, measurable intelligence. They're not professors. They couldn't do fancy equations or something. They're not more educated, they're not more wealthy, they don't have more time, but they're more fortunate. They have sukriti. And the modern way of life is how to sap people's sukriti, how to make them unfortunate. But the Krishna consciousness movement is for making them fortunate. Something else. Okay, there's another statement here. Prabhupada, it's in the purport to this verse, he talks about how simply by what you said, by Krishna consciousness, Bhagavatamrita said that just by Krishna consciousness you can get all perfection. Therefore, Prabhupada says, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. So it's the same thing. Do it. Faith doesn't mean, yeah, I think that's a good idea, and if it works for you, I'm happy about that. And it means you'll really do it. That's the sign of faith. You do it. You do it. If there's an investment, what's the sign of faith? You invest. You put your money down and say, okay, I'm in. That's faith. Till then, it's really, you may say that you have faith, but we know that you don't because you're not putting your money down. So the same thing, when you actually say, all right, I've read Bhagavad Gita, now I understand the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, well, I guess that's it, I have to surrender. That means you've understood the book. And, oh, good, Prabhupada has this whole discussion of his own experience in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive, and as soon as they're economically a little well-situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again because their faith is weak. They didn't come with strong faith, or they didn't develop strong faith. It's only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada talks about these different levels of faith in terms of their scriptural knowledge also. So, Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Uttamadhikari. Anything else? Yes?
Can you mean
maybe sometimes we need to describe the one-to-one correlation.
What do these things describe? Kanishta Madhyam Uttam. You don't know at all? What is the difference between a Kanishta Adhikari and an Uttam Adhikari? Knowledge and faith. Yeah. So faith, you can't really be an Uttam Adhikari and have weak faith. So is there a one-to-one correlation? Also knowledge. That if your faith is weak and your knowledge is strong, you're not gonna be very so advanced. You need that faith. And if your faith is strong, then you need to develop that knowledge also to fortify it. Of course, if your faith is strong, Krishna says, Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam, I'll help you with the knowledge. We see that. But our process is, why are we sitting here reading these books? We want to strengthen our faith, strengthen our knowledge. We don't want to be Kanishta Adhikaris. Is that okay? Okay, the time being 12 o'clock, we can take our break and we'll see you in 10 minutes. Okay?